Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. On today's program, episode number 106 of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast, we're going to be talking with Nancy Hartwell. We're going to be talking about a sensitive subject, one she's very familiar with. It impacted a friend of hers that she has never heard from again. And that is sex trafficking and slave trading going on right beneath our very noses. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau, and welcome to everything church related. And today we have the privilege of doing another dual broadcast with the Kingdom Crossroads podcast because the subject is so important. I want to try and get this message out to as widespread audience as we possibly can. We're going to talk about human trafficking today with Nancy Hartwell. Nancy grew up in Tampa, Florida. She studied international relations in Washington, D.C., and married a distinguished attorney from Cameroon, where she lived for 14 years. She's traveled to 44 different countries and can speak some of at least 20 languages. And for 7 years, she was a technical writer for a division of the Washington Post, a division which tracked congressional activities. And for 14 years, was the editor and lead proposal writer for a company specializing in international development. She's the author of 3 books, Harem Slave, Prince Ibrahim's Favorite, and Voices from the Harem, all of which are available on our website at nancyhartwell.com. But Nancy, well, first of all, welcome to the program. We're glad to have you this day, and we hope this message gets as widespread distribution as possible. But that doesn't tell us the story of how you became involved in this topic. Can you explain that to our listeners?
Certainly. And thank you, by the way, for giving me an opportunity to help get the word out.
Oh, our privilege.
Yes. I had a very beautiful German friend when I was living in Cameroon named Ursula. And one day she vanished. They found her bicycle next to the road and nobody heard from her or saw her ever since.
How old was she?
And she was about 23. And several weeks later, we started hearing rumors that she had been sold to a sultan in Libya. And that certainly explained everything. And that really scared me because I was 25 at the time and was kind of a cute blonde myself. And I kept having this horrible feeling in the pit of my stomach, you know, that could have been me. So I started collecting stories, and then 40 years later, I finally had time to sit down and write the stories, and those are the 3 books that you just mentioned.
Okay. Now, why are we still talking about slavery in this day and age? I mean, I thought that that all went out, you know, years ago.
That's a very common reaction. In fact, a lot of people don't want to hear about it at all. It's why are, you know, we took care of that. Why are we still dredging this up? Well, it is a huge problem. After drug trafficking, human trafficking is the biggest illicit business on the planet. And the State Department, which is not known for being wild, estimates that there are more than 30 million slaves across the world. Even though it's been outlawed practically everywhere, there are more slaves on Earth right now than at any time in human history. So it is still very much a problem. And it is a problem everywhere, not just in some foreign country somewhere that we can feel comfortable about. It's happening right here under our noses.
And that's not just sex sex trading, sex slave trade and all that. It's other things as well, correct?
other things. In fact, labor slavery is more prevalent than the sex trade, and they target young men. For example, the facilities that are being built for the World Soccer Cup that's coming up in a couple years in Qatar on the Persian Gulf, these facilities are being built by slave labor, nobody seems to know or care. Yeah.
Why wouldn't anybody want to put a stop to that?
Well, I mean, you'd think there'd be international outrage, but this is flying completely under the radar, and they lure young men from poor countries like Afghanistan, Somalia, Pakistan, Nepal. They sign labor contracts with them that look perfectly valid. Then they get to their destination, they rip up the contracts, confiscate their passports and any other travel documents they have, make them work 18-hour days under 120-degree heat, and lock them up when they're not working, and they never get a dime. And the conditions are so horrific, they have been averaging a death a day.
Now,
yes.
What about the girls? What happens to them?
Well, most of them end up in harems or brothels, and some of the brothels are so brutal that life expectancy is calculated in weeks.
Wow.
Yes.
That's terrible. Okay, now, here in the U.S., there's not that much of that going on, though, right?
Well, there is some. Experts estimate that there are a couple hundred thousand people who are enslaved right here in the U.S., mostly in the agriculture industries and in massage parlors, nail parlors, food processing, but mostly in agriculture.
So that'd be like the Hispanics, the illegal Mexicans, things like that. Okay. So they're being brought over here as slaves?
Well, a lot of them come voluntarily, and then the coyotes that are supposed to help them get across the Arizona desert take them to camps where they're threatened with all kinds of nastiness unless they start picking the strawberries or whatever it is, and they never see a dime either.
Wow.
And they're kept completely isolated so that they don't have any contact with anybody that they can ask for help.
Wow.
So, yes, it exists right here in the U.S.
Amen. That is terrible. Now, the parents here in the U.S., at least, we've done a pretty good job of telling our kids, you know, don't talk to strangers. I remember teaching my kids that and teaching my grandchildren that same thing. But, yeah, you say the traffickers are able to get around that. How do they do that?
Oh, well, they know that parents have done a good job of this. So they find all kinds of sneaky ways to kind of break the stranger barrier. For example, they'll use a puppy. Well, what kid doesn't like a puppy?
Right.
And they'll say, oh, my puppy, it got lost in those woods over there. Can you please help me find my puppy? Well, we also raise our children to be kind-hearted, to be helpful. And the child is thinking of saving the puppy, not thinking that this is a person that I don't know and is therefore a stranger.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll even work in pairs. One will set up a problem and the other will walk in and heroically resolve it. For example, a girl on a bus. One of them sits next to her and starts groping her. She gets mad. He gropes her again. She gets mad again. Then this hero across the aisle says, hey, buddy, you keep your hands off that kid. And he comes over and he sits next to her, throws the other guy to a different seat. Well, have you ever told your kids not to talk to heroes?
Right, right.
Then in 30 seconds, he can extract all the information he needs, where she's going, is somebody going to be there to pick her up, et cetera.
Yeah.
These are really, really sneaky techniques, but they work.
Hmm.
There was a guy I saw on YouTube. He had a dog, and he went to a playground. And he asked parents, can I try an experiment to see if your kids have paid attention when you said don't talk to strangers? And parents say, sure. So he'll say, which one is yours? Okay, mine's the little girl over there in the red shirt. Okay. So he goes over. Hi, do you like dogs? Well, within seconds, she's holding his hand, skipping off with him to go look at the other puppies he has somewhere else.
Mm.
He tried this 8 times, and 8 times it worked.
Wow.
And the parents were like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And
yeah.
Just because he had a dog.
Mm.
And we don't picture this as a kidnapping, you know, somebody skipping along next to somebody holding
right.
their hand.
Yeah.
But that's what it could have been.
Ooh.
This guy was trying to underscore the point that strangers who are traffickers know how to get around, don't talk to strangers.
Yeah. Wow.
So
what can the average
yeah.
parent do then? I mean, other than tell the kids don't talk to strangers, but they're getting around that. What can we do to, how can we protect our children?
Okay, well, one of my favorite techniques, it's very simple, but it's very effective. Have a family password.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay, sometimes traffickers, especially who are pedophiles, will go to a school when it's letting out. And they'll find a child with a name on a personalized something, a mm-hmm. baseball cap or a book bag. Oh, Tommy, hi. Look, I'm Uncle Milt. Your mom couldn't make it here today, so she sent me to pick you up.
Mm.
Now, if Tommy says, what's the password? And Uncle Milt doesn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
He knows not to go with Uncle Milt.
Yeah. Yep, that's what we have with our kids.
That's a very, very simple technique, but most families don't think about it.
Yeah.
Something else, we need to talk to our kids about the potential danger. We tell them, look both ways before you cross the street because there's potential danger.
Right.
Be careful around a hot stove because there's potential danger. You're not trying to traumatize them. You're simply trying to protect them against
yeah.
a very real danger.
Right.
So talk to them that not everybody out there, even if they have a dog, has good intentions. We need to talk about this openly. You're not trying to scare them. You're simply yep. trying to protect them, which is your parents' number one job anyway, against potential dangers.
But,
well, something else that parents need to do also is monitor your kids' social media sites.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
especially
this
today.
Does not, oh, Lord, this does not frequently make you real popular with the kids. But If you do it with them, rather than being the nasty policeman who does it behind their back,
mm-hmm.
you can turn it into an educational experience and point out things that never in a million years should have been posted
right.
on the internet. Postings that have all kinds of red flags. There are predators who play the computer games
mm-hmm.
with kids, pretending to be another 11-year-old.
Yeah.
And then they start asking, can you send me a picture of yourself without any clothes on?
Mm.
Maybe it's not another 11-year-old.
Right.
And you need to alert your kids that if they ever get a request like that, they should tell mommy or daddy immediately.
Well, that kind of brings up the next question of how do they find their targets? You know, how do they find their next victim?
Well, sometimes they drive around
yeah.
the streets looking for kids playing outside, you know, like you mentioned. There are traffickers who troll bus stations, train stations, looking for runaways. They can spot them at 50 paces, and they know all the things to say to make the poor kid who's been abused so bad that she's run away from home, they get her to trust them that they're going to help them find somewhere safe to stay, something decent to eat, and then, of course, they betray them.
Yeah.
So if you know of a kid who is planning to run away from home or even thinking about it, please, 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 please help them find some other solution, because they've got a target on them than the size of Texas.
Yeah.
So
how does the average, if you can use that term, average slave trafficking ring operate? I mean, you know, kind of walk us through. We start, you know, grabbing someone off the street, or, you know, seeing them at the bus station. Then what happens?
Okay, well, you have to understand, organized crime is into this big time. The Russian equivalent of the mafia in particular, and they are expanding their operations everywhere. Once they have somebody in their clutches, chances are they will drug him or her, put them in a shipping crate that's labeled some kind of industrial equipment, put them on an airplane to the destination, usually the Persian Gulf or wherever they want them. That's usually where they go, because that's where the most money is. For instance, a good-looking blonde can go for more than $100,000.
Wow.
And as long as somebody's going to pay those prices, somebody's going to supply the market. So then they go to a sort of a distribution center where brokers will come and select the ones that they want, and then they're sold off into brothels or harems. And nobody ever hears from them again, because they're completely cut off from the world. No telephone, no internet, 12-foot walls, armed guards at the gates. Once they're there, they're there.
No way to escape.
Very, very, very rarely, and it's usually by some kind of accident.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see the television specials about, you know, rescue operations and all that, but those are just fiction, right?
Those are mostly just fiction.
Yeah.
Like the film that was popular a few years ago, Taken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, that did the world a big service in that it brought attention to this problem to the front burner, and the techniques that were used to get those girls, like, you know, the ride share at the airport and the guy who targeted those particular girls and then later sent the real guys in to get them. That is perfectly and absolutely true. The rest of the film, where there were Albanians involved in this, which is a very polite way of saying Russians. The rest of it, like where the guy happened to be on just the right bridge when the yacht was going under
and he could
leap onto the yacht. That was Hollywood.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The setup was absolutely true.
Wow.
Yes.
Now, you know, we talked briefly that it's not just sex trade. We're talking about, you know, garment industry, you know, I mean, slaves.
Yes.
You know, with a lot of the commodities that we take for granted.
Yes.
Here, right?
Fish, seafood.
Really?
The Cambodian slaves are used extensively in Malaysia, Thailand, and Vietnam on fishing vessels. And if they don't perform up to snuff, they just dump them overboard. About 80% of the seafood that is processed in Malaysia, Thailand, and Vietnam involves some kind of slave labor.
Wow, 80%.
Yes. 80%. It's really the Thai government has tried recently to crack down on it because they were getting some really bad international publicity. But in Malaysia and Vietnam, it still continues unabated. And in Thailand, it's still a very serious issue, but at least the government is attempting to intervene and reduce it, if not completely eliminate it. In China, is the biggest the country that has the most internal slaves. These are Chinese on Chinese. It's not the international slave trade. It's a domestic slave trade.
Really?
Yes. And it is rampant in China, especially in the garment industry and in small electronics.
Wow.
They lock the people up and make them work 18, 20-hour days, and then they go downstairs to the basement where they catch a couple hours sleep and then back upstairs to work again all day.
Wow. And
yeah.
There's no possibility of them going to the police or notifying, you know, some type of authority figure because they're controlled so tightly, right?
They're controlled so tightly. In fact, I read recently where in Toledo, Ohio, they got wind of some massage parlors and nail parlors where Chinese slaves were being held. And they would go and raid, but the people were so afraid of anybody in authority that they refused to talk. And so authorities started taking Chinese interpreters with them to reassure the people that they were rescuing that they were there to help them and not to cause them even more trouble.
Yeah.
Because they have been brainwashed and brainwashed and brainwashed. They're scared to death of anybody with a uniform.
Wow. And that was in Toledo, Ohio.
Harvard, that was in Toledo, Ohio.
Yeah.
Right in the USA. Yes.
Wow.
And by the way, a whole cartel of Chinese organized crime that works these all over the U.S. They have some people that are specialized in getting business licenses, like for a massage parlor, that make it look absolutely, completely legitimate. They have other people who are specialized in financing and in money laundering. They have other people who are specialized in, quote, recruiting. Other people who are specialized in knocking a place down. They can be completely gone within 2 hours if they get wind of a possible raid. And then they go a couple towns over and set up all over again.
What can the average person do to help thwart some of this activity?
That is a very good question. Number one, keep your eyes open. If you notice, for example, locks on the outside of a door, that's for keeping somebody in and not keeping bad people out. You might want to just take note of it. Don't try to investigate yourself, but you might want to take notes, especially if you see funny things going on. Take notes, times, dates, and then turn your notes over to public authorities. Also, if you see a girl on the street who is dressed very inappropriately for the weather, maybe it's 40 degrees and she has a sweater. She is probably a victim of human trafficking. There are specialized organizations all around the country, most of them connected with a church or a synagogue, that help rescue these girls from the street. You can contact one of these organizations and let them know where this girl was, what time of day, etc., so that they have experts who know what they're doing, who can help rescue the girls. it's very difficult to help victims of human trafficking. They have been betrayed and lied to and deceived so many times at a very impressionable age. Usually they're very young teenagers, 12, 15 years old. They no longer trust anybody, including people who are genuinely trying to help them. I talked with a lady 2 days ago who runs a shelter for girls who have been rescued from the streets. And she said that it usually takes 4 or 5 counseling sessions before the girl is willing to say anything at all. She's so suspicious of these people who are trying to help her.
Yeah,
you can't really blame them. They say that nobody ever really gets over being trafficked. They simply learn how to cope. It is so toxic, and it destroys a life to such an extent that people are scarred severely for life. Wow. But they do finally learn how to cope with the real world again, thank God.
Yeah.
But these organizations are always looking for volunteers. They're always looking for financial support. And like the Center for Missing and Exploited Children, there's the Polaris organization, the National Center for the Hotline for Human Trafficking. They have counselors that can speak to girls in many different languages and help them. Another good technique is to put a sign in the women's restrooms on interstate rest stops.
Uh-huh.
That if somebody is taking you somewhere you don't want to go, call this number now. Those have been also, it's very inexpensive and it works.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Some things to think about. Amen. Well, you've given us a lot to think about. If someone listening to this is spurred to action, what do you recommend they do right away? I mean, what's something they can do right now?
Okay, well, contact your local task force against human trafficking and offer to help. They always need something. Or if there is, often the Salvation Army will offer at least temporary shelter. Contact them, see what they need, and offer, you know, financial support, offer to volunteer. They will just be delighted to have some help. And if you know a good bit about what's going on, offer to do programs at local Kiwanis clubs or Rotary or church groups to help educate the public that this is still a big problem and we still need to work on resolving it.
Amen. Amen. If someone wanted to get a hold of you for interviews or questions or order your books, can you give us your contact information so they can do all of that?
Sure. Just email me at nancy@nancyhartwell.com. My books are available there, also on Amazon. And by the way, the flagship book called Harem Slave has been translated into French, Spanish, and German.
Amen.
So if you speak one of those languages, you can also download that from Amazon.
Amen. Well, Nancy, I want to thank you for your time today. Literally, we just scraped the surface of this very disheartening subject. And our time here today really doesn't do it justice. But my hope and prayer is this interview will touch the lives of some and protect the lives of others. Amen. And I want to thank you for your time. A very sensitive subject, but I want to thank you for taking the time.
Well, thank you, Pastor Bob. I really appreciate your dedication to helping to spread the word about this horrible, horrible crime. Thank you so much.
Not a problem. And we pray that it doesn't ever happen, but that people will coalesce and come together and stand up and resist the organizations to support this sort of thing. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, folks,
amen.
That's all the time we have for today. And for Nancy Hartwell and myself, I want to remember to tell you to be blessed in all that you do.